Okay, you there?
Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Hello. Good afternoon. Are we on? This is Dr.
You're on. Hi, Michael.
We're
on. A lot of static there. Hello? Michael, are you there?
Hello, Carol. We're here.
Okay.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. Carol Guy is there running the board for us. And this is Dr. Michael Rice calling in. Michael, can you say hello and say a few words so we can grab your volume and see if it's all right?
Hey, Tim. Yes, we're here, and I'd like to hear your voice, and thank you for doing the show for us this week. We're actually sitting on a cruise ship in Miami and getting ready to pull out of port in a couple of hours. And so I'll listen. It's a little noisy in the background here, so I'm going to keep my phone on mute, and I'll chime in whenever it's appropriate.
All right. Does Jeannie have the count for us on which number of our Memorial Day commemorations this is?
No.
All right. Well, this is yet another day where we want to welcome you to Mind Shifters Radio and discuss a variety of things, including a process for forgiveness, which is not about pardoning anyone. It's about doing our own inner work to dismantle anything that's less than love that resides within our mind-body system. And in commemoration of the Memorial Day and those who have given their lives for our country or been forced to take a life for our country and been wounded and brought those wounds home, we are commemorating Memorial Day and making the commitment that each of us will do at least one piece of work today to remove some form of hostility or fear from our mind-body system.
Tim, I don't know what's happening, but your voice is very fuzzy and staticky.
Ha. Carol, do you have the same response? Oh, we may have lost Carol. And that might account for my voice being fuzzy and staticky.
Well, I'd spoken to her earlier today, and she said that there was a problem with weather up in the Northeast where they have the station, and she actually only was able to do half of her show. So it may be to do with that.
Yes, it might.
Yeah, hi. Yeah. Thank you, Michael. I was hoping that we could let everybody know to bear with us through these changes right now, because they're still. I think they're still working on the studio and making sure things are running more smoothly.
Now, your voice, Carol, is very clear, but Tim's is crackly and staticky for me on this phone and on hers. Is yours okay?
Yeah, yours sounds fine, too. Yours is perfect. So,
all right,
keep calling back in.
All right, so I'm going to hang up and call in and see if it clears my line, and you guys can carry on for a few minutes.
Awesome. Go for it. And in the meantime, we'll just say welcome to the show, everybody. Memorial Day. Our purpose is inviting you to use the tools. If you're not familiar with the forgiveness conversation, forgiveness in Aramaic hasn't got anything to do with letting other people off the hook for what's happening inside of you. It's how you go inside of you and remove what never belonged, the hostility, the fear, the pain, the grief. And if you want to get those tools, you can go to our website. They're there free for anybody to download in several languages. If you look on the right-hand side of www.whyagain.com, that's www.whyagain.com, on the right-hand side you'll see a link that says Download Worksheets. And under that link, the first four links will tell you the whole story. It'll give you the worksheet process, the written explanation, and an MP3 of two radio shows where we walk people through the process step by step. So you've got a really awesome set of instructions there. Are you back, Tim?
I'm back. Is that any
sound? Much better.
All right, wonderful.
All right, I'm going to become a listener. Turned over to you, sir.
All right, so I did hear you say that you'd given out the website, and we want to strongly encourage people to visit the website, www.whyagain.com. And on the right-hand side, there's a link for Download Worksheets. Click on that link, go to that page, and the first four links give you just ample exposure to the tool so that you can begin to work to dismantle anything that's less than love that's in your mind or in your energy system. The first link is the download of the chapter from Michael's book that explains the worksheet process in detail. And the second link is the seven-step worksheet process itself. You can download that. It's free. And the next two are audio recordings of this radio show or this internet show where Michael has stepped two different people through the process. And it's just full of good examples of how powerful a tool can be and some of the pitfalls of what we're going to face in ourselves when we try to look at anything that's less than love and remove it from our system. So, again, if you want to call in, if you want to make a comment or a question, the number is 646-200-4169. 646-200-4169. And it looks like Nene is going to be calling in.
Hello?
Is this Nene?
Yes.
Hello, Nene.
Hi, everybody. Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween. We missed you last night.
Yes, we had a Halloween dinner, and I have to, you know, I was helping Maria, so it was kind of, difficult to the phone and when I dial, whatever. Anyway, so I just wanted to make some comments on the workshop we had the week before in Hollywood. That it was very nice. We had a small group of people, but it was very intense. And at the end, everybody was very involved in the process. And one person works with changing, like reprogramming the mind. And the question from that person was that what happens with the cognoscitive mind in that process. And so what I would make clear that is the mind, the energy, mind energy, it's like a lake, like a water. And if we put contamination into it, pollution, it contaminates. So this process of the true forgiveness is about cleaning that mind energy, making it fresh. And then once you have it fresh, then you can direct your thoughts and create whatever you want. And because we do the opening of the love filters, the Rahman-Kuba, that's what the frontal lobe gets activated. And I've seen a movie about how meditation actually activates your intelligence. So that was my answer to that question.
Well, that's one of the things that Michael talks about extensively is that Rachma is a filter in the mind over intentions that when Rachma is set, allows only intentions keyed to love to be used as the building blocks for my goals. And,
mm-hmm.
and my goals are the only thing that ever motivate me to behavior. It's important to keep my mind and the filter in my mind over intentions set to love so that my behaviors will always be loving. The other thing you mentioned is Kuba, and Kuba is a filter in the mind over perception, and it
mm-hmm.
can be set to fear, hostility, or Kuba, which is the setting that allows only perceptions keyed to love to be used in the building blocks of my realities in the moment. And in the ancient teachings, it was said that perfect love casts out fear, and the definition for perfect love is that I have both Rachma and Kuba set in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that there's a very good way to think about it if you're thinking about water in the mind or your experience being a body of water that can be polluted or can be cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
Process for filtering through anything that's not pure or clean or loving would require having both Rachma and Kuba set. The other thing is, Michael frequently talks about, there's the statement that the eye is the lamp of the soul, and if the light for you is darkness, how deep will your darkness become? And most people
mm-hmm.
don't understand what might be meant by that. Those are kind of confusing words. But from the ancient Aramaic, Michael's clarification of that is that the output of your perceptual mind is what's meant to guide you. It's to be your light for this earthly life so that you don't walk into walls and that you don't misinterpret things. And if the light that you're using to guide you is darkness, well, in the ancient Aramaic, the definition for darkness is any form of hostility or fear. Well, it means you're not going to see things clearly. You're looking through a foggy lens or a completely
mm-hmm.
dirty lens, and then you're going to have corrupt data showing you what you think is the real world outside of you. And really, it's just darkness in your own mind, which will lead you to misinterpret things. It will lead you to blame other people for the pain and suffering you're creating in your own life, and it will lead you to more of the same of what you've already created. So if you're going to move forward with any kind of intelligence, you would need to be able to see clearly what's in front of you. So
mm-hmm.
hopefully we'll continue to work with people to help them see if they set Rachma, which is a filter in their mind over intentions. They will only allow themselves to use intentions keyed to love to be the building blocks for their goals, which then motivates their behavior. And if they have Kuba set, then in each moment, out of all the possible pieces of data that they could choose to build their realities,
mm-hmm.
they will choose only loving data and experience the world the way it was meant to be experienced.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's the Rachma and Kuba explanation as I remember it from Dr. Rice's work. And, Nene, how many did you have at your group?
We had 10 people.
Wonderful.
11 with me.
Wonderful. And how long did you run the workshop?
2.5 hours.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, we had maybe a short intermission, maybe a 15-minute intermission.
Now, were you doing this in English or Spanish?
In English, yeah, in English. They asked me to do it in English.
Well, I just have to thank you so much for doing this work and doing it both in English and Spanish and helping get the word out there about one of the most powerful tools I've ever encountered in my life as a therapist and a person on this planet. And congratulations on yet another good workshop.
Thank
you.
Do
you have another one planned in the near future?
Yes, I'm planning another one very soon, mid-November. One of them... people who came wants me to go to Palm Beach in his house. He wants to gather a group of people and have me there lecturing for them. So we are trying to find a date that is convenient for him and his friends.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, Dayu shared with me that that your workshop in the May was absolutely awesome, that it was very powerful. So congratulations. That's,
thank you.
Did you get to do an audio recording or anything of it?
No, we couldn't. No.
That's when you can get to record it. That would be
yes,
fun.
We need to. And it was interesting because during... I was teaching then, I was able to, of course, to identify your own stuff that comes out, and also I was able to see that I could put some of my own examples there too, so that was very enriching, very nurturing. And also, I noticed in the opening of the workshop, when we asked, what were you feeling when you did something that then later you regretted? Also, a couple of people that were saying, no, because in that moment that was the best thing to do. I was right in that moment. So when the time came to talk about the 9-bit mind and the evidential mind, I was able also to explain. I put a lot of time there saying that we have to cancel our need to be right. Because that's, you know, we're very limited. And then I said, each time we do that, we are in the corrupted data. We are, the mind is taking data is corrupted. So that impressed me a lot, because two people were very, very strong saying, no, in that moment that was the best thing to do. I was right to do it, but, you know, like that.
Well, yeah, awesome work, Renee. We really appreciate it. And, Carol, have we got any other callers in? There were some folks from, Sandra was supposed to call in from Washington State. She had some questions about a medically oriented forgiveness support group that she's starting out there. And I'd also ask Dr. Androcki, so if there's any 702 area codes, or I forget where her code is, but I hope they're on.
I want to mention to everybody, there is a lot of people that's called in. If you would like to talk and ask a question, please press 1 on your phone so that I know that you have a question. We do have someone else here. I'm not sure where they're from. It's area code 336. You're on the air?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi.
Hi. This is Paula Davis from Greensboro. I'm just in Dr. Rice's class at Unity Church on Saturday.
Hi, Paula.
Welcome, Paula.
Hi. I guess I don't even know what I want to ask other than I woke up, I had a bad dream at 5:30 this morning. You know, one of those that were so real that I thought it was real, and it was me getting a phone call telling me that my 22-year-old son had died because he's traveling. He's 22. He's on a big adventure in Europe, and he's been just hiking every mountain or just wherever he can take beautiful pictures of nature because that's what he wanted to see. And 2 days ago, he sent me an in-depth email and told his girlfriend the same thing that he told me in the email about how he was so determined to go see the top of this mountain in Poland to see the scenery, and these mountain climbers and people had told him he couldn't do it because he has no equipment. He's just got a backpack on, and he's just a typical kid who just graduated from college on an adventure, and he went for it anyway, and all I know is that he should not have done it. I'm thankful he's still alive. But now I've been, you know, I'm just kind of living in this little bit of tension and fear every day since he told me. And then I had this bad dream that woke me up this morning. And I've been crying since I got up at 5:30 this morning as if it was real. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is a premonition. It's really happened. And I knew he was headed off to another mountain in Slovakia. And, oh, my gosh, he didn't learn his lesson. And And I talked to Joan Anderson, who was in our workshop with us this weekend, and you know, she's a mom, and she lost a son who was the same age as Jackson a few years ago. And, of course, it was eliciting fear in her, but at the same time, she was saying, you know, Paula, he's living his big adventure, and he's living life like you taught him, to live it to its fullest, and he's doing that, wherever he is, whatever he's doing. But it's your, his actions are resonating your stuff. And I said, yeah, I know, and I don't know what to do with this. Like, I just don't want to obsess over the fear of for him being gone now, you know, and he's still got another month to go.
Okay, so what seminar or workshop did you attend with Dr. Rice?
I did everything from Sunday through Friday, and then his all-day mind shifters, and then the breathing, still point breathing.
Okay, excellent. So you know about the worksheet as a tool, the reality management worksheet?
Yes.
And have you done any of those with any success yet?
I've had one, and we've got a support group that's starting this Thursday night with everybody that was in. There were 25 of us, so we all have agreed to come together again every Thursday night and be together as a support group. So. Yeah, so I know that's coming. That's Thursday. So you're saying I could pull out one of the sheets and.
Well, that's that one wonderful thing to do is to get a worksheet and begin to work through any negative reality you have in your mind.
Okay.
Related to either the dream you just had, or your fears for your son, or your fears for yourself about going on. You know, if he's not here, that's a,
mm-hmm.
that's a very powerful tool. But what I was asking is, have you had any success doing the worksheets on smaller issues yet?
Well, yeah, during the workshop at night, you know, when we started with something simple, you know, I mean, it was very revealing, you know, to have done that.
Okay, well, generally, when Michael teaches the workshop, we ask people to begin with a smaller intensity issue, because you want to build up the skills of using this tool and demonstrate to yourself that it can be effective for removing hostility or fear from your mind.
Okay.
What you're talking about here is a very intense set of emotions, a very strong fear about losing your son.
Yeah.
And you're also talking about talking to somebody else who actually lost a son.
Right.
Not too many years ago. So the intensity of your emotions is going to be sky high by the time you take your first breath when you're trying to do this worksheet.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean you can't do the worksheet process on this, but you might want to start with getting some under your belt that are a little bit on a much lower intensity level. And that way your emotions won't be triggered to be so intense, and you'll be able to keep your logic in the picture while you work through the worksheet process. If our emotional intensity gets too high, it tends to shut off our logic. We tend to go unconscious. It's what the mortal mind, carbon-based memory, thinks is a protective mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really very protective, but that's something we need to overcome.
Right.
So that's one thing. Another thing is, did you learn in the still point breathing session, did you learn the mind shifter tool?
Yes, we did. It was. I just love that sheet. I mean, that's just going to be gold. I'm going to carry that around with me and do everything on that sheet. I mean, you know, there's so much richness in that, in what was on that mind shifter.
Well, there's another thing that comes to me is that you might want to pick two numbers, take a deep breath, and ask for your highest guidance to guide your selection of numbers, and then pick a number from 1 to 3.
Right.
And then pick a number from 1 to 13, and then
okay.
pull up that mind shifter and spend an hour journaling or writing in response to that mind shifter, whichever number you end up picking. And
Well, yeah, that would be something I could do now, even though I'm, you know, I'm a little, you know, I'm obviously I'm doing okay now. I'm composed, but you know, I am like there's this huge upset in the background, but I could do that without it, just to see where the journaling led me.
Yes, and it'll probably tap into some of the things that are driving your sense of fear and frustration about your son's choices and about his choice to go do this exploration, even though you said he shouldn't. So there's all kinds of different issues and triggers that might reveal themselves, in which case you'd have something to process more with the individual worksheets.
Right, and with my group on Thursday, you know, I could get them to support me on this as well.
Right, and breathing.
And breathing, yes.
Right, nice deep breaths and catching yourself monitoring your breathing as you're doing the mind shifter process and making sure you come back to nice, full, deep breaths as you do the mind shifter process, and it will help keep the energy moving.
Yes.
And it will make sure that your brain has plenty of oxygen in it so that you can actually stay intelligent and process things.
And we join you in support of your son, knowing that he is living his life to the fullest, and trusting
right.
the intelligence that he has to be doing just exactly what he needs to do. So that
right.
rather than having to second guess him, you're just a space of safety, trusting his intelligence that he's moving forward the way he needs to. And so we'd hold that space with you and join with you in doing that.
Yes. I was at one place this morning, you know, in the midst of crying, I called somebody that was up early, and you know, I could hear the words coming out of my mouth was, well, I raised and instilled in him that life is to be lived to its fullest and to challenge and, you know, your fears that aren't real and go for it. And he is. He's doing that. And then at the same time and in the same breath, I was going, you know, and what's happening right now is very selfish of me because it's about me. You know, it's about my junk.
Well, we join you in healing your fear and holding
yeah.
space for him and trusting his intelligence, and we appreciate
yeah.
the call.
Thank you.
All righty. Blessings. And we do have Sandra Kettle, area code 509. Carol, if you could tap her in. Sandra is a young lady
yes,
who's starting
I
to support
her,
group.
Yes, I have her, 509. She's there.
That's me.
Sandra's starting a support group in a medical physician's office. And so one of our invitations to folks to get on the show today was to talk about that and how we can support you in getting that support group underway.
Well, good morning, and I appreciate the time. It is exciting for me to take another direction to have an additional mind shifters group that is focused for the medical community. We, without consulting you, Michael, named it the Mind Shifters Wellness Group. And
awesome.
It is will be starting in a couple of weeks. And what I would have questions, particularly from the medical community, medical practitioners, about the process of presenting the forgiveness tool, the process with patients that doctors in presenting it to them, and the background and the source being the Bible so much, and how they go about that so that you can be talking to anyone because they're not walking into an expectation of it coming from the Bible, probably. And also about showing the DVD. Do you show the DVD? Do you use the book? Do you use the worksheet alone? Can you do that? I have a lot of mechanical things, but one of the things I wanted to know up front was what shifted in the mind of the medical practitioner to use the process of forgiveness as a healing tool.
There's, say that again, Sandra.
What shifted in the mind of the medical practitioner, the doctor, that shifted that they wanted to use this process of forgiveness as a healing tool with their patients?
Well, let's see if... Carol, are there any 702 callers in the room? Dr. Andraki from Pahrump in Las Vegas, Nevada. I had invited him to be on the show
today. Yes, there is a Let's see if we can get them here. 702, you're on the air.
702, you want to share where you're calling from and what your name is? That might be Dr. Andraki. I know he's in his practice right now, and so he may be away from his phone for a moment, but we'll...
Mm-hmm.
Hello?
Hello? 702?
You're on the air.
No, they're not speaking right now, Michael.
Okay. Well, that may be he, and I know he's in his office right now, and so he may have gotten momentarily distracted. We'll wait and see if he comes back online. If he will come back, Doctor.
Another question I had is there a disclaimer statement for patients to sign regarding not taking the content of the MindShifter wellness group as medical advice or a substitute for a medical doctor?
We haven't found that to be necessary, but
good.
If you're feeling inclined, that might be something that you might want to just create, or if you'd like, we'll create something that that people can do. And I know that Dr. Andraki had been doing this work for about 13 years when he first started to really integrate it into his medical practice. And
mm-hmm.
I think it was as a result of just shifts that he'd seen in his own life and using the tools. And the escalating crisis, as I understand it, in medicine, where more and more people are running into more and more challenges, and there's not much resolution besides knocking their brains out with drugs.
Yes.
If people don't have the tools for using them in their lives. And my understanding at this point is that Dr. Andraki pretty much introduces just about every patient that he speaks to through the forgiveness process and gives them the phone number for the radio show and has them call in. Because he's been finding that it's just a huge adjunct that empowers people to be able to do their own work, as opposed to, doctor fixed me, people start to take responsibility for themselves once they start to understand these tools.
Do you know how he measures success and then how the patient measures success?
Well, of course, it's we haven't set up any double-blind studies yet, although we are working on setting up a study in Pahrump, Nevada, through the drug court, and that's something that we're just actually kind of working on putting together funding to do, to set up some studies. But at this point, it's a subjective process that Dr. Andraki is using with his patients in terms of assessing their ease at taking care of their lives, pre and post forgiveness. And let's ask Ian if Dr. Andraki is with us. I know there's a 702 line open on the phone, but nobody's been speaking.
It is the does Dr. Andraki do it in a group, or does he do it one-on-one?
Actually, we trained 20 of Dr. Andraki's medical assistants to do the forgiveness process with their patients. And so Dr. Andraki will see a patient, go through whatever he needs to go through medically, and then one of the medical assistants will go in and support them with the worksheet process. And, of course, Dr. Andraki and his wife are much more acquainted with the process than most of the MAs because they've been working with it longer and more intensely. So if they need support, then they'll go in and assist them one-on-one. And then in two of their offices, they actually have an office in Las Vegas. And once a week, they've got a Spanish support group for the Spanish community that his wife, Claudia Andraki, runs. And then both he and Claudia run a support group on a weekly basis for their office there. So they do both one-on-one work, and then they've got a weekly support group in two of the offices.
All right, then it sounds to me like that there would be, I would provide training for office personnel, staff, as required, that the doctor seems like needs to be on board with the process.
Yes, the Dr. Andraki required everyone associated with his office, even the administrative staff, to participate and to understand, at least get a basic understanding of the process.
Okay. Do you require that people see the DVD, or can they? Can you just do the worksheet and teach it as through the worksheet?
I think if I were you, I would follow my intuition on that in terms of which direction you you need to go. Dr. Andraki required that everyone on his medical staff and administrative staff attend a worksheet session, and why is this happening to me again, or do a one-on-one session with myself and or Jeannie. So that was the requirement in his office.
Okay, but not necessarily watching the DVD, but watching you or going through a workshop, or do they not have to watch the DVD?
Say that again, Sandra, please.
Well, I'm wondering about showing the DVD if that is required. That that's just my question.
What Dr. Andraki is doing is when they're doing the support group on a weekly basis, is they're walking people through the forgiveness process. And then using the DVDs, I think they're showing 1 hour at a time of one of the DVDs each week.
Okay. All right. So it's not necessarily the introduction to it, to the forgiveness process. In other words, if you sit down with strangers who have never been to a workshop, who have never seen your DVD, and to begin cold with them, what would you do first?
All of the above.
All right. But in whatever intuitive path you've not found that it makes a difference.
Yeah, I would definitely listen to my intuition. And, of course, the person who's sitting before you, because they've come through a medical office, is no different than the person that shows up in your support group, on your regular weekly support group. And we probably should have started off by introducing you, Sandra, that Sandra and her husband, William, did teacher's training a couple of years ago and have done Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshops and support groups in Arkansas and out in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, and now in Washington State, and moving to the medical community. So this is Sandra Kettle, who has been doing that and is getting ready to start a support group in a medically oriented facility.
And my background, Michael, is in adult education with, you know, human resource development. I have a doctorate in that, and that's my passion of the forgiveness process in connection with wanting to empower and facilitate learning, you know, of how to be all that you are created to be is such a passion for us. And for this to open up for this window of opportunity, I've had been approached by a physician, and they will refer their patients to me. But I'm trying to get the whole package of seeing what needs to happen to support that patient in that doctor's office.
Well, you know, Sandra, it's pretty much going to be exactly what you're doing to support them when they come to one of your support groups.
Good.
You know, the people who have been coming to your support group the last couple of years there, have also got all kinds of medical challenges, and they may see the physician separately, but, you know, they're still addressing the same issues whichever route they enter your space. And so my focus would be, you know, on teaching them the Aramaic concepts of how the world works, and then, of course, in particular, the reality management worksheet process. And how do you collapse the realities that are reflections of internally held pain and therefore internally caused disease processes, and remove those. And so in either event, they're basically going to be, you know, in exactly the same mode.
I feel a responsibility to the physician as a kind of representing of them, since they've referred the person, of making sure that I'm within my own integrity of supporting that physician in his practice or her practice and their desire to heal and help people as well. So that's why I'm asking the questions about making that relationship a win-win for both, for the physician and for me and for the patient.
Right. Well, Dr. Andraki had done my work first up in New York about 13 years ago. And He heard me speak at a conference and then came and did a weekend intensive. And then he's been, I believe, to Heartland on two different occasions. And then invited us to come out, and we did actually about 2 months of workshops between the private sessions and such. And so I would invite the physician so that he knows what you're doing and that he can or she can support from their end what you're doing. They need to have an understanding that you wouldn't want the physician having one philosophy of life and the work you're doing with them to be in opposition. So maybe loaning the physician the at least the Why Is This Happening to Me Again DVD, and maybe asking if they'd be willing to attend at least a couple of sessions so they get to see and approve of what you're doing. It took Dr. Andrati 13 years to say, okay, I'm ready to put this in my practice. And as I say, he's had us train 20 medical assistants, and virtually everybody that comes through his offices now gets a worksheet.
Yes. Was there any discussion or anything come up about the biblical source?
I can go into a room full of physicists and never mention the scriptures, and they'll walk away scratching their heads saying, we can't survive as humans long term without forgiveness. And many people, you just bring up the word forgiveness, and they, their minds automatically go to religion. And the response I have to that is, you know, you have a delete key on your computer, and it removes things from your hard drive. Is there anything religious about that? Well, no, of course not. Well, there's a delete key. It's called forgiveness. It deletes hostility, fear, grief, rage, pain, sadness, hatred, vengeance. Is there anything religious about that? Nothing. Now, some of the religions talk about using the delete key, but that doesn't make it a religious principle. And the Aramaic language, in its root and in its source, is about physics. It's not about theology. It's about physiology. It's not about theology. It's about genetics. You know, when they said the sins of the father will be passed down to 3 and 4 generations, they understood how genetics is working and what the geneticists are now finally starting to understand. There's an awesome video out there. There's a link on our website for a video called The Ghost in Your Genes. And what we've been teaching for 40 years, and the ancient scriptures were teaching 2,000 years ago, the geneticists are now just starting to uncover and understand, and they talk about it in that video, The Ghost in Your Genes. That doesn't make any of it religious, but certainly it's something that humans can't survive long-term without, and so religions have used that. But, you know, they use cups and saucers, and cups and saucers aren't religious either.
Correct. I just wanted to hear you say all that. Thanks, Michael.
Yeah, so that's kind of the approach I take, is it's just, this is just how it works. It isn't about the theology. Dr. Tim,
Michael,
do you have any thoughts about that? Yes, Carol.
Michael, I think he's on the line now.
Cool, 702, is that Dr. Andrati?
It is.
Oh, awesome. Well, you have a young lady here, Sandra Kettle, who's been running support groups and done teachers training at Heartland, and she has some questions for you, Stephen.
Okay.
Good morning. I have a doctorate in adult education and human resource development, and so my training mind has been used, but my spiritual side as well. And I've been conducting mind shifters groups for about 6 years, and my question now, in shifting to the medical community, I've made a connection with a physician here, and we'll be starting a group called Mindshifters Wellness. And I'm asking questions about the shift in a medical practitioner's mind like yours that moved you to offer the forgiveness process, and how you went about creating that in your staff and in your office, and just your philosophy of the effectiveness, I guess, of healing through forgiveness.
Well, I'm going to put a very long answer into a short answer. And the fact is that I've explored many different ways for trying to help patients, including years of hypnosis training, including continuing education, including meditation, including, hold on a second, including meditation. And I'm trying to always help people in another way that I can't help them, because usually in this is taking one situation of depression or anxiety, I say, do you want to take medications or do you want to try something else? And medications don't frequently work. They cause side effects and problems. And I know that's not the answer. I know it's used a lot because it's the best answer that that most physicians have, but they don't work well. So it comes to pass that that it takes some more work for patients to figure out what's going on. Hypnosis takes a lot of time, and having to go in and to look at these issues, and it just all came together when that's what the program of forgiveness is actually attempting to do, is to go in and to look at those issues and to change those issues, to change the goal and to shift love in it, so you don't have to continue to experience this. And so it made perfect sense for me, and this is a program that people can do on their own, that they can read the book, that they can do the worksheets, they can come to classes if they want to, and it just makes so much perfect sense. And not only does it make sense in the case of depression, but it makes sense in just about all other cases. I deal with, I have two young women who've had their infants die, who are, you know, a grieving process. I deal with addictions. I deal with the people with cancer, people who are dying. I deal with people who say that they have too much stress in their life. And everything comes down to one program. I don't have to say, you know, go do this, go to meditate, or go do yoga on this one, or you may have to go to India for a couple of years to work through these issues. Everything comes down into the same point of doing what I call the program of reading, of working, because it really identifies that that you are the creator of the issues and you're the only person who can make things better. So how does this work for me? Well, I ask, I bring up the patients who that may be receptive to this. I have other physicians who, when they can't offer anything to the patients, that they actually refer to the group. So they feel comfortable with saying that you need to go do some extra work. And sometimes they don't have insurance, and sometimes they simply can't afford for therapies. Now, I'm not saying that this is the only program for drug addicts. They may have to go to Narcotics Anonymous, or alcoholics may have to go to Narcotics Anonymous. Some people may need to go to group counseling or therapies or individual, but this is one option for people who want to pursue something on their own schedule without having to pay money for it. So that works so well in so many instances. And then in terms of religion, I don't frequently bring the religious aspect into it. I think that this is basically a process that you go through. You say the origins of it, and we talk about that. But I'm not particularly good for quoting Bible scriptures, and Michael does it very well. But we don't have to incorporate the religious aspect into it. We say that, as Michael has taught us, that there was a person 2,000 years ago who understood this, and this is where the basis comes from. So we've been able to adapt this to something that's across the board, universally accepted in most cases, unless somebody is an atheist and wants to proclaim that. Remember, the number one modality for people, for healing, the number one modality in the world is prayer. And so most people are going to pray. Most people are going to believe in a divine source, or the source, or the thing itself. So I think that with that focus, that incorporates most people into something that they believe that there's a power that they can use to help them get better. I'm going to end it at that right now, unless you have another question.
Just, do you measure success, and how does your patient measure success using the forgiveness process? Just casually, not through research, but do they give you feedback, volunteer?
Of course. Mm-hmm. Of course. And here's the thing, that what is success, and how do we gain success? Because we have people who come in who may come to a couple of our workshops, and they don't show back up. I mean, is that a success? Probably they may have learned something. I don't think that they were totally discouraged by it, so I think that that's success. But some people who stick with it say it's incredible. I have one lady who gets the award for perseverance, but she still struggles with the problem. So is she learning something? She says she's come a long way, but she still hasn't broken through to the other side. So For us to identify what success is very difficult because we can't measure that easily. But for the people who participate, I think that everybody gets something from it in different amounts. And I think that everybody who has some degree of success with it, even though they don't want to deal with it, they can always come back to it. They can always look at this in the future. We never know how 5 years from now that something like this comes back to them as in a successful way that they may not see success right now.
As Michael says, you can never go back at some level. Once you begin the forgiveness work and you understand at all, it's impossible to go back. So, yes, there's always success. Thank you so much for your time.
Well, you're welcome. I think that it's great. I think that in the future that more people should be involved in this, more practitioners, because we simply cannot help everybody. That's impossible. And with the economy, with the options, it's people like you. It's people like Tim. It's people like everybody who's participating and having their groups to help these people. And that's the amazing thing, that people want to help other people to feel better. And I look people in the eye and say, you no longer have to feel like this. You can choose to if you want. And sometimes, and I know that it's been my responsibility to teach them something different instead of saying that you don't have to feel like this, but I don't know what to tell you. But you don't want to feel like this. So here, go to the website and come to our classes. And I think that's where all the work takes place.
Again, thank you very much.
People coming back, I've seen it take 10 years before somebody came back and said, what's that what you, what's that what you, what did you say? And, you know, they finally have the situation that brings the brain cells forward. They're ready to hear it. And so you never know when the seed is planted that it's going to bloom and produce fruit in somebody's life. It's always awesome to watch that.
Well, I just wanted it to be documented on this call because William and I first heard you in 1990, and it wasn't until you came back into our lives in 2006 that the work really began. We just kind of piddled along and like a toothpick tearing up an asphalt parking lot, you know, for all those years. Didn't forget it, but it wasn't nearly as effective until we began the group in 2006. So thank you very much for answering my question.
Glad to be on the team. And, you know, Dr. Tim Hayes is a psychologist. He's been in the psychology world as a helping professional for the last 35 years or so. Dr. Tim, do you have anything to share on this topic? You're hosting the show today. You haven't gotten to do much talking, but
well, we have great questions and guests like this. It makes the hosting job easier. What I would offer is just echoing what Dr. Andraki said. I now offer the forgiveness tool and a couple self-administered little acupressure techniques that people can do on their own to every patient I see. For two reasons. One is because it's empowering them to actually make a difference in their own lives, and they don't need to rely on the psychologist or any other guru. And the other reason is because it's a very powerful tool between sessions, even if they might need the support of a professional to deal with a long-standing set of traumas in their life or relationship issues that they just have decided they won't be able to look at on their own, even if they need the support of a professional, this gives them so much more utility during the week. And then I, for the past almost 6 years now, I've been leading the support group and just donating my time one night a week to do the Mind Shifter support group. For the same reason Dr. Andraki said, a lot of people can't afford the help. They can't afford therapy. They don't have insurance. If they do, sometimes even when the economy turns down, they can't afford their copayment. And so I've been advertising this group as a great place for people to come and get access to me as a therapist and psychologist and these powerful tools at, you know, next to no fee. Or depending upon who's been hosting it, they'll ask for a $5 love offering. But we don't turn people away because they can't afford it. And in terms of, you know, measuring success, we don't measure it. But if you recorded these group sessions, the testimonials that come in, they're not only tearjerkers, but they're mind-boggling at times, the way people have made transitions in their life from long-standing patterns of anger and fear and abusive relationships to loving, flexible, productive patterns in their work life, their personal life, and their home life, it's just, that's all the proof I need to keep doing it.
Exactly.
That would be my offering.
Mm-hmm. One of the things that's happened in the group that we have now is the frequency is higher than we've ever had it, and as we have our discussion, we're going through the book now, and as we read a chapter and then we have a discussion, there's no longer the it's a habit of going to the story. No one talks about their story anymore. It's an amazing miracle to open up discussion and have people talking from a spiritual, from a connectedness to the from the forgiveness perspective. It is truly a miracle.
We actually got a call this morning on our way to Miami, and from a physician that was at the breath workshop, this is Mindshifters and Still Point Breathing on Saturday. And she's an integrative medical specialist, and she has a solo office with 10 employees, and she said, you know, there's so much stress and strain, but on Saturday, she said, she experienced, you know, this is just her own thought, she said, I experienced a miracle, and I saw several miracles happen in that room on Saturday, and this is becoming part of my practice. It was her first exposure was on Friday night, so it really all you have to do is just watch it start to happen, and there's just nothing like it.
Michael, this is Carol. We have about a little over 3 minutes left, and we do have another caller, actually a couple of them.
So let's bring another caller in and see if they've got a comment on our medical questions. And
okay.
What area
it's
code?
Area code 646.
646, where are you calling from? Who are we talking to?
I'm Hank Hill.
646, you're on the air with us. Okay, well,
let's go to the other one. We have another one here, too. 786.
Hi, Jeannie. This is Dayu. How are you?
We're good. How are you?
Okay, wonderful. I'm sorry to have missed this wonderful call. It sounds very interesting. I came in the last couple of minutes, and I heard Tim talking about his support groups. I just wanted to honor him for doing a fantastic job the past few years. Yeah. I also wanted to just touch base with you and get the phone number and contact details for the people in Naperville so we can see if we can...
I'll be making that contact for you and getting back with you on that, Dayu. Okay?
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
All right.
I appreciate that. Okay,
so Dr.
wonderful.
Ross,
great job.
Do you have any closing thoughts for us? Dr. Andraki, you still with us?
No, he dropped off.
Ah, okay. I know he was in his office working today, so I was just delighted to hear that he made it to the show.
Michael, can you hear me?
I can.
What is Dr. Andraki's specialty?
He's a GP.
Specialty?
And he's certified to do work with addictions and works with some very specialized tools and drugs for taking people off of really severely addictive substances. But other than that, he's a general practitioner in Pahrump, Nevada, and he does work in, he has another office in Las Vegas where he works with people who've had accidents, and then there are six other offices he's associated with that are just general practitioner.
Wow. Okay. He's got a broad spectrum of intent.
His wife, Claudia, is is an assistant in the office, and she is the one who runs the Spanish support group, and she assists with the English support group, and she's just doing an awesome job, as Nene did with the Spanish work, and you know, as Dayu has done with bringing forward a couple of programs, she's done a thing that's called Forgive It Forward and the Momentum Project, where she's donating her time as a forgiveness coach to support people in doing the forgiveness process and then inviting them to donate their time to help someone else. And so it's awesome watch how all these creative minds are coming together to support and bring this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. And my heart is certainly open wide with appreciation for everything that everybody's doing to assist and make it work.
And we're down to about 30 seconds, Michael.
Well, then we'll close the show out. Everybody have the best year yet of your eternal life. Dr. Tim will be hosting for the next week. We won't be on the show, and we hold you in a blessing.
Have a wonderful cruise.
Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Paula.
Bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com. Evolving continuously.